Series entitled Honoring King Jesus, as we've been saying, because what is Christmas all about? Jesus. And we really are putting value on that because surrounding everything that surrounds Christmas, love it all. I love all the lights. I love everything that we do and the Christmas music and all the gift given. But at the center of everything is who? Jesus. Because, you know, the nativity scene, you got the, you know, the manger, and you got Mary and Joseph, and you got all the animals. But if you take Jesus out, what do you have? Nothing, right? Nothing. And so we want to make sure we put Jesus in and we get truly what God wants to speak to us. So today I want to continue our series, Honoring King Jesus. As you remain standing, grab your message outlines and go with me to Matthew chapter number 2. And I want to look at the first Christmas, a particular act that took place, the act of worship, and show you how at the centerpiece of the first Christmas was what Christmas was really about. And then we are going to create a powerful moment at the end of service. I'm telling you, God moves so powerfully at all of our other services. And I know it's going to be a special time where we get to bring God our Christmas offering, our special time to honor God. And I really believe that today's going to be one of those pivotal moments where God's going to fill you, visit you, touch your heart, because God is in this place. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I want to show you something here and a very key principle. Watch what happens when the three wise men come. The scripture says that after Jesus was born, where was he born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod. It says that Magi, they came from the east, which was somewhere in Persia, and they came to Jerusalem. And when they came there, the three wise men, as many have probably heard of it, verse 2, the Bible says that they asked, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? And then watch what it says. We saw his star at when it rose. Now I want us all to read this last sentence together. Why did they come? What did they come to? It says, and we have come to what? Worship him. So I want to show you that the primary focus of why they even went to see Jesus was to worship him. Why did you come to church today? That's right. We came to worship. See someone's outfit. No, I came to worship him. Now jump down to verse number 10. Here's what it says. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, I always like to say it, freedom house. That's right. They came into the house, the Bible says, and they saw the young child, notice capital C, because it's talking about Jesus, with Mary his mother, and they fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped him. It says, and when they opened their treasuries, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And the point there is that the first gifts of Christmas were given to Jesus. But I want to draw your attention that the primary focus was worship. So they're like, hey, where's Jesus? We want to worship him. Then when they came into the manger, the stable, they're like, we fell down and worship. So the centerpiece of Christmas is worship. And I want to talk about today because what is worship? I mean, what is this thing, right? Is it the songs we sing? Is worship what the people do up here while they're jumping? We're going to talk about it. I want to talk today, the title of my message is Worship is My Christmas Gift. Let's pray. Bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. And as we open up your word, God, I pray that you would begin to reveal to us your intention of Christmas. God, I don't want to go through this season and miss everything that you had for me, for my family, for my legacy, and for my future. So Father, today, speak to us, fill us up. We didn't come to hear the word of man, we came to hear the word of God. So God, let us find you in the scriptures today. And let me focus on what you want to speak to me. We thank you for this, we love you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, someone say amen. Give God one more clap, you may be seated. And you know me, I always like you to bug your neighbor, just tell your neighbor, say Merry Christmas. Yeah, Christ. Put a little emphasis on Christ. Man, it's just so good. Merry Christmas to all those watching us online, and it's all good. We love you. Put it in the chat, Merry Christmas. But I want to talk today about the subject of worship. Worship, what is it? You know, how are we supposed to play this out in our lives? Because there's another scripture in John chapter 4 where the Bible says that God seeks those who worship in spirit and truth. So in other words, God is looking for those type of worshipers. So here's a theological statement. It's one thing to seek God. It's a whole nother thing when God's seeking you. It's a whole nother thing. So that means God is looking. His eyes are like, I'm looking for someone who is like truly worshiping me. I like to believe God can look no further. He just look at Irvine, Fullerton. Come on, look at us. Come on, we're here. Truly wanted to win. So God looks for those. So it's something that God, I could say it in this strong way, God is looking for it. He's looking for it. And I want to talk about worship because worship is something that's very powerful, but it's also something that is part of our relationship with God and something that all of us participate in. Now, it's important because there's a lot of things, these are my opening thoughts, and then we'll get to the context of the scripture here. There's a lot of things that we can do for you as a church. So like, if you need prayer, like, man, we will pray for you. We can pray for you. So, you know, one of our campus pastors can pray for you. I'll pray for you. Our prayer partners are always available to pray for you at all of our locations during worship. Yeah, go, you can clap for that. Go ahead. Like, we will pray for you. If you walk down the hallway of any of our locations, they will pray for you. Anyone with a red shirt, they'll pray. We'll pray for you, okay? We can pray for you. We can also give you advice, right? We can give you biblical counseling if you have a question, like hey, pastor, you know, or Bible college we have. Like, we can counsel you. We can also teach you the scriptures. Like, we can teach you. There's a lot of things we can serve you. We can do things for you. But there's one thing that none of us can do for you. There's one thing I can't do for you. A campus pastor can't do for you. A friend can't do for you. Nobody can do for you. That's worship. Nobody can worship for you. You can't be like, hey, Pastor Josiah, could you worship for me? I'm going to be at the mall. And then you just throw some worship for me and we're good. Like your friend can't worship for you, your grandma can't worship for you, your mother can't worship for you, your spouse can't worship for you, your boyfriend can't worship for you. Come on, nobody, only you can worship for you. It's like the gym. Like, you know, you can't go to the gym and be like, hey, you go do 100 crunches, but let me get the six pack. Like, if anybody invents that, you're the next Trinity Lair. Just hurry up and invent that for all of us so I could be watching the game and you could do crunches for me, okay? I could eat hot Cheetos, hot Fritos, whatever I feel like. Anyway, pan dulce, let's go. Right, so like, there's no proxy, okay? All of us have to give the praise that's due to his name. Each one of us. This is so important because worship is something that we give to God. And it really was the centerpiece of what the whole Christmas story was about. Because the Bible says that the wise men, they came to what? Worship him. They're like, we're coming for one reason. There's only one reason why we're coming. We're not coming to see the baby. Oh, get you, look cute. We're not just coming to see the social part of it. We're not coming so we can be in the picture. I was at the nativity scene. I'm coming to check in. I was at church. No, I'm coming for one reason. To what? To worship him. And so let's read it one more time so we could, let's go to the context here of Matthew chapter 2. Watch this here, verse number 2. Watch what it says here all together. Matthew 2, it says, and when they asked, where's the one who's been born, the king of the Jews? They said, we saw his star when it rose and have come to what? Worship. Underline that. So the one reason I came is to worship him. Why'd you come to church today? To worship him. Why are you going to come to church next week? To worship him next year. Why? Because I came. This is why you can never let someone stop you from coming to God's house. Oh, I gotta talk about that right there. Well, they took my chair. Did you come for a chair or did you come to worship him? Well, my friend was dating that one person, but he goes to that church. I just feel something right now. And I don't want to go there because his friend, he was so mean to her or him. Are you coming for him? It got quiet all up in here. Come on, somebody. Don't get quiet. If you get quiet, we know we're talking about each other. We're coming. I'm coming to worship. Come on, somebody. Him. Say amen. And so I think it's important to zoom in to who these three wise men were. As you know, if you've been around the Christmas story for any matter of time, or you've seen a nativity set, you've seen the picture of these three known as wise men. In context, they're also three kings. They're three magi. And they are called this because they themselves are people who were influential. There were people that came to worship God. Now, they were called wise men, not the three stooges, the three wise men, okay? They were called three kings because they had something to give. Now, the number one thing, the reason they were called three wise men is because they were educated. Watch me now. Stay with me here. They were educated. They had been studying the Old Testament. They were also astronomers, and they knew that a star would rise. They knew the writings of Isaiah, the prophet. They knew the writings of Daniel, the writings of Micah, that a Savior would be born out of Bethlehem. And they knew this, and so they were wise. They were educated. And I love this because what this proves is they didn't let their education stop them from worshiping. Does your education stop you from worshiping? You know, they're like, well, you know, I've read the oracles. You know, got my bachelor degree, and because there are some people that their education stops them from worshiping. Wow. You know, does your education hinder your worship? Have you gotten too smart for yourself? See, I love the Christmas story because it says that these wise men came. They were educated people. And I love the fact that you can be educated and still worship the spirituality of who God is. Talk to me, somebody. Come on, somebody. You know, they didn't let that education stop them. They didn't say, well, you know, so I don't care if you got your bachelor's or you are a bachelor. I don't care if you got your master's. I don't care if you got your doctor or got your PhD or you got your street degree. I came to worship God. Come on, somebody. I came to worship him. So let me just, I say this as a pastor. Now let me pastor you, please, because I love you. I love you. But let me just say this is, if you're attempting to have an encounter with God through logic, you will miss God. You will not experience the fullness of who he is through logic. There are things you'll never understand. That's what makes him God. You can't put them in a book. In fact, like the Bible, don't think that all of God is in the Bible. John said, if I wrote everything Jesus did, it would fill up all the books in the world. Come on, somebody. Like the Bible is what God says. I'm gonna give you a little something of who I am. Talk to me, somebody. You gotta figure it. So if you're here today, you're thinking, I'm trying to figure out this God, you're gonna miss him. Because you can't explain. I can't explain to you how I came to God as a teenager and what probation officers couldn't change. What teachers yelling at me couldn't change. What smacking me couldn't change. I can't explain to you how I came to a service. I encountered a God. He broke every addiction. Oh, God. He broke everything out of my life. I was forgiven and set free. It ain't in a book. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain to you how my wife and I couldn't have kids for the first 5 years of our marriage. We tried every expensive process. I can't explain to you how we, not even a positive pregnancy, nothing, but the day we surrendered and obeyed God and opened Freedom House Church, my wife gets miraculously pregnant and my son is the same age of our obedience to God. I can't explain it to you. All I know is that he's God and he's bigger than my logic and he deserves all my praise, all my worship, and all the glory. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to worship God with your degree, with your bachelor, with your ex, with your smarts. Come on, give God a praise. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen. To God be the glory. Because he's bigger than my understanding. He's bigger than my logic. I can't. Here's a bold statement. We got a Bible college here. But the very term theology is an oxymoron. The study of God. You think you're gonna figure God out? Yeah.
You think you're like, I got a master's in theology. Like, you, man, God is a mystery. And the most powerful part of God is the parts you'll never understand. I'm just gonna stop right there and say, amen. The mystery of God. So the wise men worshiped him. Even though they were wise, they said he still deserves all the glory. They were also wealthy. They showed up, the Bible says, with gold. Like, if you show up today for the offering with a big box of gold coins, you're a leprechaun. I'm trying to, this is not real. I'm like, well, you got a box of gold coins. And you come to the offering balling like that, I'd be like, well, that's wild. I mean, you got gold coins. Commodity price has gone up. They have gold coins to the baby shower. Jesus is born, get it, baby shower. Okay, tough crowd. Baby, they can't go. Maybe you want to have a baby if you want to show up with gold coins. Just kidding, we're not, honey, we're not, okay? So, it's just gold coins. They were wealthy. They showed up with frankincense. Frankincense was a incense, a very expensive perfume. Ladies, it was like the Chanel, the expensive one. Like real expensive, because they couldn't mass produce this in a production factory. This is like, they had this old school before, so it was like the Chanel, super expensive, super exclusive. So they had the frankincense. Then they brought the myrrh. The myrrh was oil. It was an embalmment, like essential oils. These were expensive oils, okay? And this oil, the myrrh, was used to embalm, like, you know how they embalm the Egyptian kings? It was an embalmment, but it was very expensive. They showed up with these expensive gifts because they were wealthy. They didn't let their wealth stop them from worshiping. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Does your wealth stop you from worshiping? Because let's all be honest. When you got, like, we've all had hard times. Come on, right? Remember when it was to have hard times when you had nothing? You're like, I got nothing. And you were eating top ramen every night. Come on, talk to me. 99-cent tacos for $2, right? Two tacos, right? Actually went up to $1.09 now, but it's okay, inflation. How do I know that? Don't ask. Come on, somebody. So every now and then, I like to remind myself where I came from. You know? But y'all remember we used to like, everybody, but let's be honest, when you had nothing, you're like, God, I ain't got nothing. Lord, I need you. But then you get a little something. Start, you know, got a little paycheck now, you know what I mean? Got me a little business card now, you know? And I'm a little busy now, you know what I mean? I got my own place now. I got my own car. I don't got to take the bus no more, you know? Like, I used to bum rides. Now I got me a ride, you know? And, you know, and now you got you, you know, a nice little Rolly, even if it's a Folex, but it's okay. You can, right? Like, now you got a little something. And can I tell you, it's harder to trust God when you have something. Real talk. Because we start now thinking, I'm good. Why do I need God? You'll soon find out you still need God even when you have stuff. Amen. Is your wealth stopping you from worshiping? I think that our blessing can become our cursing, especially in America. When I go on missions trips, I'll never forget, went to the Philippines and they had nothing. Nothing. And they're just worshiping God. Worshiping God. And it's like, isn't that beautiful? But then we start getting stuff. Come on, church. Someone say, God, you're worthy of above my wealth. Just say it. Worthy above my wealth. Or has the blessing, your wealth, stopped you from worshiping? The wise men were like, no, I worship with my wealth because he's the King of Kings. You may be a king and a queen. Yes, you are, you queen. Yes, you are king, okay? But that's a lowercase K and a lowercase Q. Come on, somebody. We need to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you might be building yourself a little castle, but don't you forget that you're a part of the kingdom and he is worthy of it all. Come on, somebody. He's worthy of it all. So they worshiped even with wealth. I better give you a point. Write this down, point number one, because there is a point to this message, I promise. Okay. I start meddling and then we go like, what are we talking about? Point number one. Christmas, because the wise men came personally, is about personal worship, okay? Just write that down and say personal worship. Because remember, like I said, nobody can worship for you. It's about personal worship. The three wise men personally showed up. Are you tracking with me? They didn't send an emissary. Hey, why don't you go to Jesus and let him know we love him? No, they personally showed up. They didn't send a proxy, like they personally. And so I'm telling you that when it comes to the Christmas story, and I love looking at the orthodoxy of how it's supposed to be, that when it comes to the Christmas story, it's about us personally coming and saying, God, I have come to worship you. Me, for all that you've done. And I brought you my worship. And they gave and they honored God. That's why I love that we do this. And every year where we get to relive the true Christmas story, and they worshiped him, because it's about personally honoring God. Nobody can go for you, and nobody can show up in your place. And they came to worship him. Now, the word worship, in definition here, well, actually, here's what worship means. Worship means, write this down. This is your second point, but just write this down. Just some thoughts here. Worship means worth-ship. Worth-ship. Because these wise men personally came. And back to the context, if you're into this, I love studying the scripture, and I could spend all day teaching the picture of the scripture, and we could spend, that's why I love Bible College, shameless plug, jump in if you want. But the Magi, the three wise men, came, the Bible says, from the east. This would have been around Iran, where the modern day Iran is and the modern day Israel. So that it would have taken them, like the east, it would have taken them 900 miles to get to Jerusalem. How many miles? 900 miles. 900. They went 900 miles. You know, we do something called Starting Point at Freedom House, and where we love to get to know new people that come to the church. Like we love people here. I know it may sound cliche, but we actually love people. And we want to have, my wife and I and our campus, we like to have lunch with everyone at least one time. And so we do this event where we feed you and we give you tons of carbs. It's awesome. It's fantastic. It's powerful. God moves in the carbs. And so we hang out, and I love hearing the stories. And so when we're getting to know everybody, what I love hearing sometimes is how far people come to church. Because I always ask, like, tell me, how'd you hear about Freedom House? How, you know, where you come from? And somebody would be like, I drove 3 hours. I'm like, 3 hours? They'd be like, I came 2 hours, 4 hours. It's like, a church alive is worth the drive. That's what we say as Christians. They're like, four, and I'm a little surprised. I'm like, I don't know if I do that for, anyway, I'm like, that's awesome. I was like, it blows me away. But they came, why? Because worship is worship. God is worth it. Amen. God is worth it. Can I ask you, is God worth it? Yes. Now, God set this up today. I'm not picking on anybody watching online. At least you're watching online. But a little rain came down. Yeah. Oh, come on. I don't know. Some of y'all complaining driving 2 miles, 5 miles. Come on. I'm stepping on toes right now. Come on. But you know, sometimes we let that stop us from our worship. We're just like, no, I'm coming. Now, of course, you can worship God at home, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But the point is, when you value something, you will do whatever you got to do to get to that and to put him first and to honor him. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. You'll get through whatever. You'll turn off whatever. You'll change whatever. Why? Because you value him. And this is what happens. And so we come, and they traveled that, you know. And by the way, they came by camel. All right? They were like, they didn't have no GPS. They had no, they came by, you know, they have Waze. I know the back Waze. I know how, they came. Why? Because they value, it was worth it. So the word worship is saying, Lord, you're worth it. Is God worth it? Of course he's worth it. He's worth it. So in definition, here's another dictionary definition of the word worship. Is worship is reverence, it's honor, it is to place value, to give homage. These are all dictionary definitions of worship. It was to value and to put first. And this is why worship is so powerful, because it's placing worth, is placing value. And that's why when we think about worship, it's something we have to give to God. Nobody can do it for us. And the miracle of it is that when we begin to give God the worship, you can write this down, it's not your second point, but it's God's gift to us. Worship is God's gift to us. You say, how so? Like, I want you to know God's not in heaven. Like, he's not this insecure God going, if you don't tell me who I am, I'll forget who I am. Like, worship is not for God. It's God's gift to us. So he's not in heaven going, am I still awesome? Oh, they sang it. Yes, I'm awesome still. Okay? He's not in heaven insecure, needing to hear worship. God's actually, no, it's God's gift to us. Why? Because worship doesn't remind God who God is. Worship reminds us who God is. Come on, come on. It reminds us of who he is. It's the old saying where it says, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big God is. You tracking with me? Tell that. And it recalibrates who we are. And so we begin to say, God, because whatever you worship, watch me now, whatever you worship, you become like. Whatever you worship, you become like. If you worship money, you become greedy. If you worship people, you become a people pleaser. But if you worship God, we become the imago Deo, the image of God. You become the love, the power, the peace. Again, I'm not calling you God. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there is nothing higher than him. When we exalt him, when we worship him, we become the true image of who we're created to be, who he is. It is the gift of worship to us. That to not worship is to rob ourselves of the beauty and the gift that we're called to have and to become in front of who God is. Because there is a thing about worship. Like I said, worship is one of the only things that God cannot give himself. Because to worship is to say something's above you and nothing's above God. Is that a little too deep? Are you tracking with me? Okay. God can't worship, because to worship would mean to be there's something above you. So God cannot sing to something that's above him, because there is nothing above him. So the only one who can be truly worshiped is the highest is God. That's why the first commandment, y'all know the first commandment, the Bible says that there shall be no other gods before him. No, that's why God hates idols. I know hate is a strong word, but God hates idols, because God wants nothing in competition with who he is and what is due to his name. Worship is to place the highest worth. Now I'm gonna say something a little deep, so don't tune out real quick. If worship is worth what you place worth on, whatever in our lives we begin to put worth and value on can quickly come into competition with your worship. Are you tracking with me? Quickly. So you have to manage what you put worth on to never let it come above the highest worth of who God is. This is why the world devalues Jesus, because if the world can devalue Christ, then they steal your worship because they took your worth on him. Oh, come on. We're thinking this morning. Why? Because we're wise men and women who still worship him, right? And so the world says, if I can devalue God in your life, then I've stolen your worship, because worship is true worth. This is why a girl who leaves God for a boyfriend, I feel like running on that one. I'm gonna run around the stage real quick. But I still worship because I put songs in my car. Which, you know, you gotta love us Christians. We call a genre of music worship, you know? And because we play it, we think we do it. Like, you know, if I put country music, am I a country singer? If I put hip-hop, am I a hip-hop artist? I want to be, though. My name is Josiah, and I am on fire. The Lord lifts me higher and higher. I got one song. That's all I got. Am I a hip-hop artist because I play hip-hop? Am I a worshiper because I play worship? Oh, man, I really am a nice guy. If you're here for the first time, I am a nice guy. I'm in this vein right now. I'm on one. Pray for me. I'm on one. where it's like, what are we making of Christmas? We're putting worth on everything else. But the true orthodoxy of Christmas was, Jesus, you're the highest worth. You are the one. You are the greatest. We honor him. And so easy, and I'll raise my hand, you get caught up in the rat race of life, trying to find your significance in everything else, only to come up empty and maybe get it, but still feel like you lost it all. I know I'm talking right. Because the only thing that's, and I'm not saying don't have goals. Listen, go hustle, go have goals, go crush it. You be a king, you be a queen. But if you miss the centerpiece of what this is all about, you will get everything you thought you always needed, but only be empty at the end. If I just had that, I'll be happy. Well, one day you're going to get that and you're going to realize, why am I still not happy? Why am I still empty? Why? Because the greatest gift all year long is Jesus. That's what you really need right now. I'm telling you. It's what we need in our homes, what we need in our marriage. It's like a devotion of worship. But worship is not, like I said, understanding, but worship is knowing him. It's like my marriage. I don't understand my wife. I love you. I understand. But I know her and I love her. I love her because I know her. You don't understand God, but I just want to know him. And to know him is enough. And if I could just know who he is, if I could get into his presence, then I could worship him. And I can come and give him the glory. Point number two, write this down. I got to wrap this message. I only got a few more minutes and then we're going to create a moment that I prompt. Please don't leave. And it's going to be a powerful moment. But these three wise men came and they gave their best worship at Christmas. Someone say their best worship. They gave their best during Christmas. So they didn't like, you know, just show up and you know, when you pick that, I call it secret squirrel, and you're just like, oh, I'll just buy them a little something, you know, a little gift. You just kind of get them, or some of y'all re-gift stuff. You got your re-gifts in a certain cabinet. Just laugh like you know someone. I know someone like that. I know, you know, you know, the re-gift, and you've been re-gifting it, and you know, you give it to one of your kids. They're like, did you get? I got the same one last year, and they're like, Lord wanted to bless you twice. Just like, you know, re-gifting it. You know, like they didn't re-gift to Jesus. They gave him the best gift because he's worthy of it all. So they brought, the Bible says, you know, they brought the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. It was the best gift. And they brought the first gifts to Jesus to honor him. Why? Because giving is worship. There's something, like you can give and not love, right? You ever have to like buy something for someone, feel obligated, right? It's okay. You're like, oh, I know they were coming. Oh my God, I think I have the one gift card in the top drawer. Just pull it out. We'll give it to them. You're obligated. You can give and not love, but watch me now. It is impossible to love and not give. It's impossible. When you love something, it's impossible. Yeah, you can clap right there. It is impossible to not give because I love them and I want to give to who he is. So the first Christmas, they brought gifts and they honor because we came to lay down and to love and to bless his name. So they brought, let's read it real quick so that we can go to the scripture. You know, I don't make up stuff here, but the Bible says that they, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when they came into the house, they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasuries, presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they came to give these gifts. They offered these gifts to him. Why? Because it was a prophetic symbolization of who he really was and who he is. And so that's why we love every year to recreate this moment for us as a church, is to say, we're going to worship him, and then we're going to give to him. We call it our Christmas offering. Now, don't feel under any pressure. Listen to me. If you're here for the first time, we don't believe in pressure giving. We believe in prayerful giving. So we've been talking about this for a few weeks, giving people an opportunity to prepare themselves, because when we give, it's not really about us. It's about giving to Jesus. And
giving to be a blessing. Like you heard, we blessed 1,000 families. Did you just hear that? 1,000 families. 1,000. Okay? We even had a waiting list beyond that. We could have blessed hundreds of more families. And I guess we'll do it next year. Let's do it. Thousands of kids with groceries and toys, but more importantly, prayer and the church and helping them get ahead a little bit. You know, come on. That's the truth. To me, like, that's what we do. And so we did that, but we want to give you an opportunity to give towards that. You know, and you be part of what Christmas is really about. All right, I tell my kids, it's not about Christmas. Like, I tell my, you know, one of my kids, I won't say which one it is, but I was like, bro, Christmas ain't about what you get. I guess I kind of gave it away a little bit right there. Yeah, like, Christmas, like, yeah, whatever, you get stuff. But the truth is how are we being a blessing? Amen. You know, like, what are we doing to help others? That's where the miracle happens. Proverbs 11:25 says it like this. It says that when you refresh others, a generous person will prosper. What kind of person prospers? A generous person. So whoever refreshes others will what? Be refreshed.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.